And so this evening, I want to continue in these thoughts or these messages, something that the Lord gave me two words. When I was quiet, he said, "It's settled." And there's a lot of things that we can go through. I mean, you can go through a lot of different things here, but there are some things in the Word of God that are settled. And well, he said in Psalm 119:89, he said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So God's word is settled, and it's where settled in heaven. And one of the things that is exciting to me, if you look at Malachi 3:6 in the New Living Translation, he said, "I am the Lord, I change not," or "I do not change." So he doesn't change. His word is forever settled. That means what? His word doesn't change. James 1:17, same thing in New Living Translation. You know, it supports what we read in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, it says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. God never changes. His word never changes. And you know, one of the things that we need to be very settled on is that regardless of the things that we're confronted with in this time that we live in society, you know, they're trying to make society think that there's other things other than the Word of God. They're trying to make us change what we've been created as. If you know, they want to make something that God created into something else. They want to take and tell us that it's okay to make man a woman or a woman a man. And God said, what did in the New Living, in Genesis 1:26 and 27 in the New Living Translation, this is the word of God. This is what he said: "My word is settled, and I change not." I don't change, and my word doesn't change. So what does it say in Genesis 1:26 and 27, New Living? It says, "Then God said," who said? God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals in the earth," or on the earth, "and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So look at verse 27. "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them." In the image of what? In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So now we have man. This is what, remember the word said? It is God that created man, or male and female. And now we have man who wants to change what God created. So I'm trying to get off of our subject for this evening, but if we don't settle it, that God's word is settled, then what we're doing is what's Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world." What's the behavior of the world right now? Is it they want man to change what God said, and he said, "My word's settled. It's forever settled in heaven, and I don't change." So this says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, what is good and pleasing and perfect. So this is why it's so necessary and important and imperative that we do what? We renew our minds on the Word of God, and it will change the way we think. So then we won't do what? Copy the behavior of the world. Otherwise, then you won't be able to tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. And always remember that this scripture, you know, when it talks about 2 Corinthians 5:17, when it says, we've become a new person in Christ, all things are passed away, all things are become new, it says that, remember that our spirit was what? Recreated. It wasn't, like this says here, it wasn't renewed. Our spirit was what? Changed. It was recreated. So our spirit man is brand new. We have a new person on the inside. We've been recreated, not something that's been worked over or modified. No, it's changed. But our soul, our intellect, our emotions have not been. And if we do not let the Word of God come in and supernaturally change us, then we will think and behave like the world. Does it mean that you won't go to heaven? No, not at all. You'll go to heaven, but your mind will still be thinking some of these worldly thoughts. And that's why you so often, you know, we hear it sometimes in church, you know, young children will say, you know, you want them to embrace and get their minds changed. And they'll say, well, my parents come to church, they act one way, and then they come home and they act another way. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean they're not saved. It doesn't mean that they're not Christians. What it means is they haven't had their minds renewed, and they come to church and act one way, and then they go home and they act another way. So they're embracing the things of the world. They're talking like the world. They're thinking like the world. And what happens? The people they're around, they see that. And people even in the world. That's why you hear, well, I don't see any difference in your life than what we do. Well, it doesn't mean they're not saved. It could be. But most times, if the person professes Jesus as Lord and acts another way, that's why sometimes you'll see people that are, you know, well-known celebrities and so forth that accept Christ. It's genuine. They've been recreated, but they haven't spent enough time in the Word, and they're still embracing worldly behaviors. Doesn't mean they're not saved. They love Jesus, but they just have not had their minds changed and their minds renewed, their soul. So the things that we're confronted with in the world, we need to settle it. And the only way you can settle something, you know, your heart has been changed, but your soul, your intellect and emotions, if it's not settled, can copy the behaviors of the world. And so that's why we take time to share lessons so that we can walk away and keep watering and settle it so that when we're, you know, confronted by issues and things in life, it's settled for us. No, that's that, you know, you just say, no, that's not scriptural for me. What does the Word of God say? No, that's not godly. And I'm not going to embrace that. I'm not going to go along with that. And, you know, so often, you know, the founder of this ministry, Pastor Clinton Utterbach, he used to say, you cannot legislate righteousness. Well, I can tell you, in the times that we're living in now, they're legislating unrighteousness. They're legislating things now that are ungodly, unrighteous, and trying to force it upon society. And if we're not, you know, vigilant and with the authority that God has given us, He's given us His authority. We're seated in heavenly places with Him in Christ, and He's given us this authority to do what? To enforce what He's already done. So in other words, the things that the devil has blinded the minds of people and are doing what? They're influencing people. They're controlling people with evil thoughts, evil influence. And we have the right not to control people, but we have the authority in Christ to do what? Command and push back the darkness and command Satan to take his influence off of people. What people? Kings and you know, people who are in authority. And so that's what we need to be thinking about and embrace, that we've been redeemed. In Him we have redemption. We've been set free from the devil's influence. We've been set free from his control and over my life or your life. And that now we can do what? We need to have what? Our minds renewed so that we can do what? Become productive in the kingdom of God. And to take up and embrace the authority that we have and come against Satan and all of his evil work. And, let's just look at a few scriptures. John 6:63, and very familiar scripture verse, says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth little. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life." That word life is zoe. And I like some of the Amplified Classic, which amplifies this. It said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit, whatever. There is no profit in it. The words or truths that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life." And speaking about life, we're no familiar with John 10:10. Spirit and life, let's look at John 10:10 in the King James and the New Living. It says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come." So, you know, you just stop there and say, why did Jesus come? Here it is right here. He came. Well, we know it says he came to destroy the works of the devil, but he came that what? We might have life and have it what? More abundantly. And the New Living says that the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And so if you don't get your mind renewed to the Word of God, then you may see your life as just problems, one thing after another, mountains and mountains of problems. But God said He sent Jesus so that we would have a rich and satisfying life. And I like what the Amplified says. It says in John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only..." See that? "He comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have what? They may have..." I missed my place here. "I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, till it what? Overflows. So this is a wonderful life that we live. Is it without? It says, no one will ever have unchallenged faith as we walk through life. But praise God, we have his name. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We have his authority. We have his name. We have his word. We have the blood of Jesus. And that's settled. And so he did what? He made an open show of them, triumphing over them, meaning the devil, in it, the cross. So he defeated Satan, and so that authority has been conveyed to us. I like Acts 10:38. It in the New Testament, it says how God did what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And it says, who did what? Who went about doing what? Good. And healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil or by the devil. And for God was with him. So he did what? He healed all who were controlled or oppressed by the devil. And so we have a covenant with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's what? The mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we have a covenant that's been sealed with the blood of Jesus and ratified. And so we've been set free from the devil's clutches, which is exactly what Colossians 1:13 says. But Isaiah 53:4, we're talking a little bit about healing. And, you know, I started making some comments about settling some things where God's word's concerned and getting our minds renewed so that we're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, which the scriptures talks about, and we're not tossed to and fro with all of the things that are going on in society. You know, when a person's settled, you know, it's an interesting thing. In Acts chapter 3, one of the things I like about, we can turn over there and look at the first couple of verses in Acts chapter 3, and Peter and John went and came in through what the gate called Beautiful, and this you could say is an example of someone who had settled it, right? Settled it regarding Jesus and settled it regarding what? The Word of God. And starting in verse 1 of Acts chapter 3 and reading down through verse 6, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to do what? To ask alms of them that entered into the temple. You know, this is no different today. We have people who are homeless. They're sitting around looking for help and money, and you have people in society looking for help, no hope. And you could imagine this person had here the same thing, no hope. People were helping them as best they could. And it says to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, meaning this person who was laying there, expecting to receive something of them, some money, some alms. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This is somebody who had settled it and knew that they had authority to use the name of Jesus. You know, so often when you know that you have something, when you have something, that means you have the freedom to use it. You know, if I walk up to you and I give you something and you take it, that means you now have it and it's your possession to do what you desire to use with it. You can do what you want with that. You have it now. And so this is here when Peter and John knew that they had something, they did what? They did something with it. And so he said, such as I have, something that he possessed what? The authority to use the name of Jesus. So when they received that great commission before the Lord ascended into heaven, he did what? He charged them, go ye, and he said, you know, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. This is, you know, Matthew and Mark 16. He said, all power, Matthew 8, 28. He said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into all the world, preaching the gospel, teaching, you know, making disciples of all men, and those that receive will be saved, and those that won't will be damned. But they had something. They knew that they were what? Charged or commanded to go into all the world, and for them, they took that to heart. They had something. And they had what? The name of Jesus. And they operated in it. And also the same thing, the centurion in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10. You know, this is somebody who came to Jesus. And starting in verse 5, it says, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And isn't it interesting? He just, you know, if you stop and look at this, it doesn't even say he asked Jesus to come and heal him. he was appealing. This is the compassion of God flowing out of Jesus. He just said what? My servant lieth at home sick. Isn't it interesting? He didn't even ask Jesus to come and heal him. He just said, my servant's home, he's sick, he grievously, what, tormented. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Oh boy. So we don't even have, he didn't even beg Jesus to come. He just told him, look, I got a servant who's sick. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And here, verse 8, it says, the centurion answered what Jesus said and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He must have settled something before he even came to Jesus. He must have settled it that he had heard something about Jesus and that Jesus, everyone that came to Jesus was healed. And so he must have settled that. And he said, you just speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So here this man understood authority. He understood, number one, that he, this centurion, was under authority, but he also had authority. And he also conveyed that same thought to Jesus. He said, for I am a man under authority. And what did he say? He was saying the same thing. He knew that Jesus was under authority, but he also had authority. And so he conveyed that, and that's where Jesus said, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. So we need to settle that Jesus is willing to heal. And you can see here, even in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 in the King James, the Lord is saying here, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to what? His commandments. And to keep what? All his statutes, I will put or will permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's what we read we didn't read it, but Psalm 107, it said he sent his word and did what? Healed them. He sent his word and healed them. So we see from the scriptures that God sent his word, and he is the healer. Not going to be the healer, he is the healer. He said, I am the Lord that does what? Healeth thee. So, as I was sharing, we need to settle that God is a good God. He changes not. He's without variableness nor shadow of turning. And the scriptures that we have, that we've been looking at, we have Isaiah 53:4. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And the confidence, you know, when you're settled about something, you know, I read this on Sunday. This is just a definition from the dictionary. The word settled or settle implies a decision reached by someone with power to end all dispute or uncertainty. So something that's settled, that means for us, God settled it, that he said, with his stripes, we are healed. So it's settled. He had the power to settle that he sent what? He sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. This is Romans chapter 8. And so he settled it. And we need to do what? Receive it. Matthew 8:17. It says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, it's what we just read, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24 in the King James, it says, who was own self, this is talking about Jesus now, bare our sins in what? His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And so often some folks will say, well, if I was, how come I still have this going on in my body? I read something recently which I thought was an interesting comment or a statement by Reverend Mark Hankins. And he made this statement. He said, the same power that's in the event of the resurrection of Christ is actually in the message or in the word. It's called the word of his power. That's Hebrews 1:3. So the word, when it is engrafted in the believer, releases the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 16, when it says, I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel. You could say the word of God. For it is the power of God. What? Unto salvation to everyone that what? Believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is in the Word of God. And so that power is enough power to undo everything Satan did in Adam. This is what he's writing Mark Hankins. Enough power to drive sickness out of your body. Enough power to drive depression out of your mind. Enough power to put the devil on the run. So the same power, and this is Romans chapter 8, verse 11, said the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if he dwells in us, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall what? Also quicken our mortal bodies, how? By his Spirit that dwells in us. So the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in the Word of God. And when we receive the Word of God, the power of God is released by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit and the Word of God agree. So we have that same power that's what? Released in our bodies to do what? Affect our physical bodies. Affect everything that Satan has wrought in our bodies. So we have a perfect redemption. In him we have redemption. We have this freedom from darkness. We've been what? Delivered, Colossians 1:13. We've been delivered or made free from what? The power of darkness, Colossians 1:13. And we've been what? Translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So these are the things that we should settle in our hearts. And how does that get settled in our hearts? And it affects our soul, where we walk through life, we think like the Word, we talk like the Word, we think, we have the mind of Christ. How does that come about? By feeding on the Word of God. Not every now and then, and not just when we come to church, but every day we feed, we take food, just like you eat food, you take the Word of God, which is spiritual food, and that begins to do what? Affect our thinking. This is what God has designed and set it up that way for us. Because he knew that this soul needed to be renewed. So something that was written in a book by F.F. Bosworth called Christ the Healer. He made this statement. He said, we should realize that the five senses belong to the natural man, what we can see, taste, touch, smell, feel. We should realize that the five senses belong to the natural man, and that they were given to us to be used for the things of this world. But the things of God cannot be discerned, appropriated, and known by the natural senses. So no physical sensation, such as pain, weakness, or sickness, can ever be a good reason for doubting the fulfillment of any divine promise. So natural things cannot discern or appropriate spiritual things. They have to be revealed in our spirit. Our spirit will have a way of knowing or being revealed the things of God. So God's word is what? Spirit and life, and it's what? It's designed to be planted in my spirit, which is a spiritual ground, And that seed will do what? Grow and what? Produce an effect in my natural body, in my soul, in my thinking, and also will affect me and everything I set my hands to. And the scripture that comes to mind is Joshua 1:8. He said, "Let not this book of the law depart out of what? Out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate just on Sunday." No, or every now and then. It says, "No, day and night." That what? "That thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, then you're going to make your way," what? "Prosperous, and then you'll have good success." So here, God is showing us how we can prosper and do what? Have good success. Everything you set your hands to is blessed. It's really, when you think about it, it's really what God set up in Deuteronomy 28. He said, if you obey my commandments and you'll observe to do them, he said, you'll be blessed. Blessed going in, blessed going out. Your storehouses will be blessed. You'll be prosperous. If you do what? You obey me, obey my word. And that's really what Joshua 1:8 is saying. That if we let not his word depart from our eyes and observe to do it, meditate in it day and night, then that means what? My soul is going to be changed. And so when sickness and disease tries to touch my body, if that's the case, then I'm settled about some things that God, I don't have to beg God to heal me. It says, by his stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, ye were healed. And so I know it's God's will to heal me. And I need to be meditating on the word of God. I need to be thinking about it, thinking about what he's already done, and thanking him, thanking God for my healing, thanking God for the power of the word of God, doing what? Quickening my mortal body. And because of that, God's power will be released in my body to undo what Satan has done in my body, because he does not have the power. He's been dethroned, he's been defeated, and now I am not subject to him. He is not my Lord anymore. Jesus is my Lord. He is my healer. And so now I have a new master. I have a new Lord. And he is what? He's a good God. He's a good Lord. He said, every good and perfect gift, James 1:17, cometh down from heaven above, with whom there is no what? Variableness nor shadow of turning. And so he doesn't change. And so we can have that settled assurance, that confidence that God wants to see me healed and whole. And you know, so often, you know, I read every day, you know, Brother Hagin's, when he was alive, he wrote or penned Health Food and Faith Food. And he talks about the stories and the things that he experienced. And I was reading today where he read about this woman who was in her late 80s, early 90s, and she, you know, had cancer of the stomach, and she was a minister. And she just, you know, he went to see her, and her she was living with her daughter, and her daughter was a member of his church that he was pastoring at the time. And he went to visit her. And she said, just leave me alone. I'm ready to go home. And he said, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to let you alone. And he would go and visit her and share the word of God. And he said, you know, he said, God never intended for us to just leave this earth sick and diseased. And he finally got her to, not that she didn't believe in healing, but she was just tired. She wanted to go home. And he said, well, why don't you just get healed? And then if you still want to go home, that's your choice. Well, she got healed. And she got up and got busy and lived a number of years later until she just fell asleep without sickness or disease. So we need to settle it in our heart that Jesus came and settled it for us. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He took our sins and our sicknesses and he shed his blood so we could have redemption and be redeemed from the curse of the law, which is Galatians 3:13. And why don't we just end with that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. And we can read that in the King James and maybe the New Living. But it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a what? A curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So he redeemed us from the curse. And if you want to know what the blessing and the curse is, we're not going to do it now. Go and read Deuteronomy 28, and you can read what the blessing and the curse is. First 15, 14 verses is the blessings, and the verse 15 through the end of that chapter is the curse. But we've been redeemed from it. Christ became a curse for us, and it says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree or the cross. So we are healed. We've been redeemed from the curse. And so we thank God and we rejoice this day, just like the freedoms that we have in this country. I could just close and say, just like the freedoms that we have in this country, because someone shed their blood so we could be free. And so the same thing. Someone shed their blood so we could be free in Christ. And that's who shed the blood for us, was he shed his blood so we could be free from Satan's dominion. And we thank God for that. And I believe we'll shout for eternity in heaven and thanking the Lamb for what he did for us. God bless you. And we're going to finish up here this evening by just asking if there's anybody here, and we never conclude, and we ask those who may not know Jesus, you know, I always say this, and if you just look around and look at what's going on, Jesus' return is imminent. It's soon. And so it's best to have our lives in order and be busy about doing his kingdom business and his work. And so if you're watching, or maybe you'll watch in the future, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you've never asked him to be your Savior, maybe you believed that Jesus came and, you know, it's a historical fact, it's documented, he was born here in this earth. You know, we believe he was born of a virgin. But you have others that may question that, but there's no doubt he lived here as a man, and he died on a cross, and he was buried, and he, what, took our sins to hell. And when sin was paid for, he, and it says, we were raised from the dead. And so the scripture is very clear in Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10. It says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you'll be saved. With what? Verse 10, it says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you may have believed that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Savior, but you never personally asked him to come into your heart. And so now this is an opportunity for you to do so and to get your life right with God and those maybe who are watching. Maybe you need to make some adjustments in your life. Maybe you haven't been living for God. Maybe you want to get it right. You can do the same thing. So, Father, we just ask you now as we come before you, Father, we confess you as our Lord and Savior. We decree with our mouth that you are Lord. You are the Savior of the world. You are now my Savior. And I believe that you were raised from the dead. You took my sins. You paid for them. And when it was paid for, you were raised from the dead. And so now I receive you. I thank you that my heart and my spirit is changed, washed with the blood of Jesus. I now have your eternal life, your nature living inside of me. And if perchance I die and leave this earth, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. And it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So my spirit will be present with the Lord. And so, Father, now I thank you and believe that I'm saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer, just contact us. There's information on the screen. You can either email us or mail us or call us by phone and let us know what happened to you, that you accepted Christ, and we will send you some free information.